This is Dr. Allie Evans welcoming you all to Light on Health, a show where we shine the light on a full spectrum of topics that affect your health and that of our entire community. My guest today is Lynn Potter, who is a local acupuncturist, and we're going to be talking about Qigong, which I'm really excited to talk about, but I think I say that every week with every guest.
Health is exciting.
So welcome to the show. I'm happy to have you here.
Thank you, Allie. It's good to be here.
Yeah. So let's start with just a little, how did your journey of life lead you to Chinese medicine, acupuncture, Qigong?
Because
you grew up in the Midwest.
I grew up in the Midwest. I was not exposed at all to Chinese medicine.
Yeah.
My past life, I always say I was a graphic designer. I was an artist in the advertising and PR world in Minneapolis. So that was one form of art, but then just felt that that was not fulfilling for me and had a mentor at that time that exposed me to alternative medicine, macrobiotic cooking, massage, acupuncture, and it was it just called to me.
And you, at that time, you were having treatments.
I had never had an acupuncture treatment in my life, actually. But it was more the philosophy of the medicine. When I looked and researched the philosophy, it just really spoke to me. How we need to harmonize ourselves with nature and follow the laws of nature, and that we are of nature, and that just made a lot of sense to me. And so I headed out west. I had a brother living in Portland at the time, and so that influenced my coming out here. But there was a great school, the Oregon College of Oriental Medicine, and started there in 1992. So it's been a good journey, and I just stayed out here. I fell in love with the West. So,
and I think what you said, that idea of letting our bodies follow nature and honoring that our bodies are of nature is really, if we could simplify what healing should be down to one sentence, it would be restoring nature back to the body, right? Like the natural rhythm or the natural.
There's a wisdom and an organization and an intelligence to that. And we should trust that more and follow it and listen to it, which is really what Qigong is about, too.
Yeah. So let's start with the easiest question of all. What's qi? It's a really easy question.
I mean, it's a very confusing one because it's spelled Q-I. And so I think that's part of the problem with Qigong and people coming to it is they don't know how to pronounce it. And so I was like, I don't know what that is. I'm not going to do that. So qi is, in its simplest form or definition, life force. It's the energy that animates all living things. Without it, we would not be alive. We would not function. So,
and people will, I'll sometimes hear people use, you know, it's the spirit or it's the like dynamic energy of the body, or
there are many forms of qi. I mean, you know, that come, there's the qi of air, there's the qi of food, there's the qi of love, you know, anything that activates and like I said, animates and illuminates something. Yeah. So there are many, many, many forms of qi. So, yeah.
And what does the gong part mean?
Gong is spelled G-O-N-G, spelled gong, or pronounced gong, and it means basically a practice or a discipline of cultivating this life force within. It's an internal art, and the practice means basically that it's a discipline over time. It's not something you do once or twice. It means you have a practice, ideally, that you would do daily to cultivate and engender and activate this flow of life force within you so that it can do its healing work.
And when you use the word cultivate, it makes me think of the patience of growing a garden. Like, you're not going to overnight go from seed to artichoke you're going to eat.
Yeah. And Chinese medicine oftentimes relates the body to the garden. And so we are creating the conditions, just like in a garden. If you create the right environment, if you give it what it needs, you know, proper soil, water, air, sun, it will grow. It will do what it does without us controlling it. We, thank goodness, are not in control of building every little cell of that plant. And the same with our bodies. You know, we really don't know what's going on in there. But if we provide the right environment and give it what it needs and trust that, we get to just enjoy the ride and let it do its thing.
Yeah. One of my mentors and teachers when I was in medical school, he was a Belgian. He was an MD who also was an acupuncturist, a homeopath, an herbalist, just really a mastermind. This man was just kind of a walking genius. But his he's written many books. They're in French. I think maybe a couple are translated. But mm-hmm. his whole premise was that our job as a physician is to restore the physiology of the body and nothing more. You know, it's just... And by physiology, he also means the emotional physiology, okay, the spirit,
whole being.
The
yeah.
whole being, yeah.
Yeah.
But this idea of give the body what it needs, it knows mm-hmm. how to heal. Mm-hmm. We innately know yes. how to self-heal. So yeah. remove the obstacles, give the raw ingredients, just like you said, that the plant yeah. needs to grow. Mm-hmm. And the rest will be taken care of.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I think medicine has moved in this other direction of... Let's mm-hmm. overpower. Let's
yeah.
Let's you know,
kind of separate and conquer, or separate
exactly.
And, or remove yeah. or control or yeah. It's and I like the word trust. You know, that we've forgotten to trust that our body does have everything within it. Even chemistry, pain relieving chemicals exist within the body if we you know can allow that to be activated. And yeah, so to trust that the body can work with it. And there, you know, it's not to say that there aren't some times when nature gets way out of balance, when our bodies do get
Absolutely.
Way out of balance and we need help and we need an external force to come in and right things. And that's strong medicine, you know. And the issue with that, with using strong medicine like pharmaceuticals or surgery or something, is there are side effects oftentimes that then we have to recover from. But sometimes we need that in the life-saving
Absolutely.
Or, you know, situation. But if you have time, and if something, it's a functional issue that you have time to work with, then this is something that over time you can develop and the body will heal itself.
Yeah. yeah. And mm-hmm. so tell me, when we talk about Qigong and what it actually mm-hmm. is and what it looks like, I know mm-hmm. there's probably hundreds of kinds of Qigong.
Yes. There are many forms.
But what... Mm-hmm. What does it look like in the kind mm-hmm. that you're teaching right now
yeah.
and that you've been practicing?
Yeah, I mean, there are volumes on Qigong. So to try to, I know I was trying to think how to condense it into this half hour.
yeah.
You know, because there's so much to say about Qigong. And let me also say, I still feel like I'm a student, and I've been practicing it 23 years, and I still feel like a student of Qigong, and I have a teacher now that I'm working with. So, but let's just say in its simplest, the point of Qigong is to cultivate mindfulness as well. And as we know now, there's so much research out there now about mindfulness. It's kind yeah. of a buzzword. But mindfulness is the antidote to stress. We know that if you can develop a mindful practice of some sort, whatever it is, whether it's meditation, yoga, tai chi, Qigong, gardening, walking, running, that will help relieve stress. So, you know, so I put that out there that as far as why you would want to do Qigong is it will help you deal with and cope with and calm the stress in your life and your body. But the, also one of the main goals of Qigong is to unify. It's really the main goal of Chinese medicine, too, is unification, like you were saying, wholeness of body, mind, and spirit. So there are tools that we use through the body to unify the mind by being present, the body by assuming postures or poses or movements, and the breath by, and that also gets this flow of qi. The breath, you know, is also prana or qi, you know, that's mm-hmm. another form of qi is breath. So by giving you a form, which there are many of, which we said, to practice daily, you will cultivate that garden that we talked about, the conditions where the qi will start flowing and the body will start healing itself. So.
And if you were to do, so the form is sort of like a routine or a,
yes.
like a dance routine is what
yeah.
comes to mind. If you were to mm-hmm. do it from start to finish, how long is it? The kind that, I know there's probably
yeah.
long forms
right.
and
so
short
what I'm
forms
teaching,
and...
yeah, there's, you know, you can have a successful practice 15, 20 minutes a day mm-hmm. and get a lot of benefit. It's like showering. You don't shower once a month, you know, so you wouldn't do a practice for, you know, a really long shower, a really long practice of 2 hours once a month, you would get more benefit from doing even 5 minutes a day or 10 to 20 minutes a day. So, mm-hmm. and the what I'm teaching is kind of a journey, you know, that it takes you on. Qigong is meant to take you on this journey internally, inward. So if you, do you want me just to kind of describe
yeah.
a practice, what I'm teaching?
Yeah.
You start by establishing the posture. So you ground yourself in the earth, you stand erect, you relax the body. So that's the first process, is to take you inward, to obtain that state of Zen or stillness, of relaxation and also to start bringing the mind internally and to be present. And then we start movements. So that's what we call, so the first part is experiencing the chi. So you learn to start feeling into the body. And then you go on a journey where you start moving and you start circulating that chi or that energy. So then we want to start flowing it through the body. And that also influences the blood flow as well. And the muscles start moving and relaxing, the tendons start easing. And then we go into a state of what we call flowing stillness or flowing Zen as well, where then you just, once you've established this flow and you've activated all this chi flow in the body, then you just stand in stillness and observe. And that's, even though some people are like, you're not doing anything, but that's a huge part of this practice. And it's a very important part of this practice is to be in stillness and observe what's going on. And we were talking about this earlier, how most people have that experience and that feels really good. And we can't really even explain what you're feeling, but to start recognizing, not just, most of us recognize pain in the body. We automatically recognize, oh, what doesn't feel good. But this is training you to seek out what feels good in the body and what feels healthy and where the body is actually doing what it's supposed to be doing. You know, 95% of us, of our body is healthy and doing exactly. It's working hard on our behalf every second of every day. You know, so maybe we have pain in our back or headaches or whatever. So that's 5% that doesn't feel so good that gets probably 100% of our attention.
That's right.
But this flowing stillness part, this stillness aspect where we observe the aspect of our being that feels really good and we just kind of swim in that, you know, bask in that for about 5 minutes. And then we have a closing where we do a little self-massage to bring us back to this world. Because then we have to step out into the world after going into this Zen state. We have to go out into the world and be, you know, driving a car or going to work. And so we want to bring you back to this place of where I'm still self-aware. I'm conscious of my inner being, but I'm also going to take that stillness into the world and be present to my work or my family from a much healthier, calmer, more relaxed state. So yeah, we finish by kind of bringing you back to the world by doing a massage. And then, so that's, it takes about 15-20 minutes.
And when people are watching it, does it look the way people, like our listeners might picture Tai Chi or another kind of
usually that's what I tell people when they say, what's Qigong? I say, well, you know, do you know what Tai Chi is? And most people understand what Tai Chi is and say, well, it's very similar. In fact, Tai Chi is a form of Qigong. It's a martial form of Qigong. So it's more externally focused where you're influencing someone else's Qi. But so Qigong is an internal focus. So it looks very similar. There's less happening than in Tai Chi. Like I said, there's a lot of just kind of standing and mental work. But the movements are very gentle, flowing, round. You know, it's a continuous movement. You know, it's all about flow. You know, Chinese medicine is all about establishing that flow of Qi. And so that's by doing that with the physical body, it also establishes that internally too.
And even, you know, I think about my practice and seeing, you know, let's say, for example, we see a really big skin condition, like someone comes in with just psoriasis all over their body or, you know, broken out in eczema. Oftentimes when you look, it's the flow somewhere is stopped in the body, which is why it's spilling over to the skin. So that same idea, both on the emotional, the mental and the physical plane. You know, and oftentimes you'll see constipation go hand in hand with a skin eruption. And it's because the body can't get rid of its waste and it's sort of like a river being dammed. The flow, it can't flow anymore. And so it's got to go somewhere. You know, a river will spill over onto the banks.
I know oftentimes, I mean, Chinese medicine is all about, and I know you had Eric on the other day, and he, we should say East Asian medicine, you know, to pronounce it correctly. But but I learned when I was going to school Chinese medicine. But it's all about, you know, reflecting, like I said earlier, back to nature. You know, any example you can see in nature will you can use as an analogy or a metaphor for the body. And so, yeah, that's exactly what happens when the qi does not flow. Disorders, you know, arise. And so, yeah, by reestablishing that flow, oftentimes they will go away.
Yeah.
You know.
We're talking with Lynn Potter about Qigong, and you're listening to Light on Health on Coast Community Radio. We're going to take a short few second break, and we'll be right back to talk some more about Qigong.
Yes, sir. נסתכל על זה ונסתכל כן פעמיים היום זורם זורם כמו אתמול כמו שלשום.
You're listening to Light on Health. Lynn Potter and I are talking about Qigong. And we've talked a little bit about what it looks like. And we've kind of alluded to this, but when we talk about especially mindfulness, I think that is like you said, it's a buzzword, but it's a buzzword because it is so hard. I mean, I think if you just gave someone one life task and that was what it was to be present mm-hmm. in their mind and whatever they were doing, I think mm-hmm. it would take maybe hundreds of lifetimes for most. Most people.
I know. It is a good question on why. I mean, I don't know if you had more to that question.
Well, I just, you know, you had mentioned, or maybe I mm-hmm. saw it written down, that idea of the monkey mind.
Right. Yeah. You know, there's a literal metaphor in life to this monkey mind. It's not, they didn't just grab that term out of nowhere. And I mean, this is kind of a sad story, but where they came from, the monkey mind is, in China, they would catch monkeys they would put out these clay pots with just a slit in the top that was big enough for their hands to reach in. And there was food in the pot. So the monkeys would reach in with this little slit with their hand and they would grasp the food. And because they had a fist, they could not get their hand back out. So I'm sorry. I know it's sad for the monkeys. But
they didn't think to open their fist.
So if they would only let go, then they would be free. So this is this idea that we all have this grasping mind that it's always grasping into the past. Oh, if I only would have done that differently, or why did I say that, or, you know, made a mistake, or we're in the future thinking about, oh, if only it were different, or what do I have to do later? You know, we're not in the present. So if we would only let go of the grasping of all those thoughts, we would be in the present. And the point, well, I'm not going to say I know the whole point of being in the present. That's a huge topic too. But one reason to be in the present and to be mindful is when you are aware of your body, when you are truly aware of your experience in any given moment, you're less likely to hurt yourself. For one thing, you're going to be aware of your body in time and space. You're not going to trip or fall as much. You're not going to be reacting habitually. You're present. So yeah, you're less likely to hurt yourself or another. And you're also more likely, even better, to make a good decision, you know, to make a conscious choice about how you want to respond to another human being, to be in a place of kindness or compassion, or, you know, and just being aware of what's going on around you so that you can respond appropriately. So to be present, you're aware of yourself and your internal environment so you can take care of yourself. And you're also aware of the people around you and you're able to be a better human being.
It's interesting how we evolved, you know, the whole kind of gorilla, chimpanzee, mm-hmm. human with this ability to grasp. Mm-hmm. Like the grasping mm-hmm. reflex is part mm-hmm. of evolution.
Yeah.
But when you say that, it's like we've gotten so much from that, this ability to work with our hands in ways we never, you know, would have evolved from. But then with mm-hmm. it also does come, I think, at an emotional, mental level, this striving, this grasping, this.
It goes back to
not
the flow
able to let go. Yeah.
Idea, right. I mean, we're meant to use these things for a purpose, but we're not meant to forever hold, you know, that would not serve the purpose either. To continue grasping this food, you would never be able to release it into your mouth.
That's right. So this balance, you know, between taking and letting go.
That's the whole yin and yang of East Asian medicine, is the idea of there's the resting and the relaxing and the openness and the receiving. And then there's the doing, the yang side. That's the more active side and the doing side and the grasping side. And so the yin and yang of life, there's always the opposing opposites that need to be constantly interplaying with each other and in a dynamic response to each other where, you know, that creates life.
Yeah. And even in mm-hmm. in Western physiology, mm-hmm. that's the sympathetic nervous system and the parasympathetic nervous system.
Yeah.
So sympathetic doing and running and escaping and the parasympathetic being and digesting and resting.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, in our society, mm-hmm. I think just in human society now, we we have such trouble accessing the calming part of our nervous system, Qigong or yoga or Tai Chi, all these
internal
are just tools to be able to help us get there. Because if you just tell someone to relax, good luck with that.
Right. I don't got time
now
for that.
Now just stop your mind and take a little break.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So that's why I'm happy to offer at least one option for supporting this yin aspect of life, of resting and restoring and healing, where that happens in that parasympathetic nervous system. We are all, you know, encouraged to just keep doing. Most people aren't getting enough sleep. You know, they're going, 18 hours a day. So I just want to offer something that is a balance to that. And and there is so much. I'm guilty of it too, doing, and which is why I do this practice for myself. I mean, I try to do it daily, and it's my way of decompressing from the day and just stopping that, the going and the doing.
The running incessantly.
Yeah. So that's kind of what I know we had talked earlier about the difference between kind of Western exercise and Eastern, exercise is that difference between doing and being, you know. So it's, yes, we need that sympathetic. We need the tension of the muscles. We need to do exercise calisthenics to build muscle and tendons and to strengthen ourselves. But we also need this beingness where we're also in the observing, resting, relaxing, healing mode. So I'm trying to offer another option to just balance that equation out a little bit.
Yeah. And the beauty is it's including movement. So you are getting blood flow and you're getting
It's still a muscle. Physical exercise.
It's still a physical exercise, but it's also well-doing. You are cultivating being.
Yeah. I taught the first class at the hospital last week, and it's very gentle. And even then, you know, one person commented, wow, that's kind of my shoulders are kind of, you know, tired, you know, from just doing these gentle movements. So it's still a physical exercise because we are – the point is to move the body as well. Through the body is how we heal, and to move all the joints and do range of motion more gently as opposed to tension and weight bearing. But so it's still working the body.
And tell us, you mentioned the class at the hospital. Tell us about the classes that you're teaching right now at the hospital, at the New Cancer Center.
Right, at the New Cancer Center. I've started teaching on Wednesday mornings. A class for the patients there, and I think they're extending it out to people who have chronic illnesses as well, and their support people, and we'll see how it goes from there. But
it's not open to the public. Anyone can take it quite yet.
Yeah,
but that's sort of
right now. It's an offering that we're offering for free as a service to help balance out. You know, these people are getting treatments. It's, you know, it's not easy what they're going through, and so this is a nice supplement, a complement to what they're receiving, so they can feel good in their body and have an opportunity to rest in. Like we said earlier, recognizing what's still good in the body and emphasize that rather than getting things done to them, they have an opportunity to be in their body in a way that's very pleasant.
I just read, or maybe I heard this somewhere, but I think I read it, that 97% of our self-talk is negative.
Yeah.
Every day. I mean, every moment of our life, 97%.
I know, isn't that sad that we do that to ourselves?
So sad.
I know. I mean, just saw that research recently, too.
Yeah, you know? Just that idea. And it's, I can think about it. And it's like, even when we think we're self-motivating, we'll become more productive. But we do it by telling ourselves, you could do this better. Yeah. Or the way you're doing that is not very organized.
Yeah.
Or...
Yeah, I heard that there's, I mean, I guess it's some biological urge or evolutionary urge to, you know, protect ourselves from, you know, something bad happening.
To
focus
talk.
On the negative. Yeah.
Interesting.
You know, it's like we focus and our brain automatically attaches to that. It's like, oh, this is a trouble that could be coming. I need to protect myself from that. And to go into something to focus on something positive, you need to consciously tell yourself, I am going to spend time with this positive thing, this positive thought, something beautiful, looking at the sunset, and consciously take that in, which is why I think this conscious practice of Qigong, to consciously spend time with it so that that can have an effect on the body and have more of an effect than this, because the negative just automatically lodges in your brain.
Yeah.
It just goes there.
Yeah.
You know, whereas this has to be a conscious process of, no, I'm going to focus on this really good thing.
Yeah. So. And like you said, I think it's, you know, let's say someone's struggling with really severe migraines, mm-hmm. obviously the focus gets taken over to the pain that they're in.
Yeah.
But if they really sit and think about it, they could list 3,000 other things that are going right every day. Yeah. My wrists don't hurt. My hands have right. full dexterity.
Yeah.
My heart has no disease and is beating yeah. rhythmically. You know, yeah. all of
I know.
The...
I mean, the beauty of pain as messenger is to bring us back to the body.
Right.
And it's telling us something's out of balance. Like you were saying, you know, with the psoriasis, something is not flowing here. Something mm-hmm. is out of balance and come back to the body and listen to it. But then, right, let's try to, okay, what can I do to help myself? And what is good about this body? And so it is, you know, those pain things are messengers, but they're not meant to be the whole story.
Right,
you know?
Or to get yeah. fixated and stuck yeah. there. Mm-hmm. So for, and the class that you're teaching, mm-hmm. those that are being treated for cancer at the Cancer mm-hmm. Center, and those yes. with chronic disease as well.
Yeah.
And then... for others who are interested but might not fall into that category, mm-hmm. are there resources that you recommend, either videos or books or class in Portland?
Yeah, in fact, the class that I'm taking now is completely online, which is the beauty of technology right
yes.
now. There are ways to access teachers. You know, the person I'm taking from is Anthony Cora High out of Florida. There's Lee Holden out of California, Robert Pang out of New York. I've taken from all those people. So there's wonderful access. It used to be where it's like, oh, you need a teacher. But
yeah.
the way that technology is now, you can access them, you can talk to them, you can email them, you know, you can have interactions, because it is important to have a teacher to guide you
yeah.
as well through this.
Who was the first one you said?
Anthony Cora High.
How do you spell the last name?
Oh, Korahais. I think it's
okay.
Greek.
Okay.
He's out of Florida, and I'm really enjoying his class right now. So, yeah, there are, you know, better to take even online from one of these than a video.
Yeah.
I'm also thinking of teaching a class down in Gearhart where I live at the Trails End Art Center, if I can get that worked out. Also just a community class for people to drop in. And now that I have a format established at the hospital, other people have been saying, are you teaching? Where can we teach? And I think there
yes.
are some people teaching also locally, and I don't have the answer
yes.
to
yes.
when, where, and when. I'm sorry. I should have had that information.
Well, when
so, yeah.
when and if you start teaching in Gearhart, we could put mm-hmm. the link on our calendar,
okay.
The KMUN calendar.
Okay, great.
And for everyone listening, this show will be available by podcast, or by podcast, right? Like an archived show. What is that called? This will be available to re-listen to if there's anything you missed. My guest today was Lynn Potter talking about Qigong. Thank you so much. I feel like
Thank
we could
you,
talk
Ellie.
For a lot longer about it.
Yeah, it's a deep subject.
Yes. Thank you for listening to Light on Health with Lynn Potter. Very special thank you to my engineer, Terry Wilson, who I would not be doing the show without, because I don't know how to work any of those buttons he works. It's my hope that we have enlightened and empowered you to take one tiny step forward towards your own radiant health. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
Yes, sir. אז איך שנסתכל על זה ונסתכל כן פעמיים היום זורם זורם כמו אתמול כמו שלשום וזה אותו כך